You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, again, thank you so much for coming. My name's John Carmichael, if I haven't had the chance to meet you. My wife, Callie, and our two kids have been attending here again for a couple months. Silas, my oldest, is in the nursery terrorizing your kids. So if you hear screaming, you know that that's mine, and I can't do anything about it. So praise God for that. My youngest son, his name's Forrest. He's with my sister right now because Callie is currently sick. She does have a fever, and so that means she's contagious. We didn't want her to be here with you this morning, unfortunately. I think she's faking and just didn't want to hear me preach. But we'll let it go. No, I'm just kidding. She's probably watching. I love you. All right. I do want to honor a couple other people. My mom is here, Pastor Aaron Carmichael. Would you give my mom a big hand? Her and my dad pastor North Church in Clarksville, Indiana. And that's the church that I'm out of. And then another very special group of people is with me as well. Pastors Ken and Tina Lola. They are the young adults pastors at Evangel World Prayer Center that Pastor Stephen just mentioned as well. They've been mentors in my life. I've grown up with their children and known them for a long time. And I'm very grateful and appreciative that they're here. So would you please give them a big hand as well? So honored for them to be here. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezra, chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. Ezra, chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. And Ezra is not a very common book in the Bible that's read, so your pages may be sticking together on this one. Verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there. Now, this is very interesting. Most of the Bible is written in third person, meaning telling a story. This is Ezra writing in first person. I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a good route for us, our little ones, and all of our substance. For I was ashamed to ask the king for an escort of foot and horse soldiers to help us against the enemy on the way. Because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all who seek him for good. But his power and his wrath are against all who forsake him. So we fasted and sought our God for this. And he was moved. Somebody say moved. He was moved by our prayers. Now skip down to verse 31. Then we began the journey from the Ahava River on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the attacker and the ambusher along the way. Can we bow for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your anointing that's already on your word. We thank you for your presence that's already here. We just ask that you take us deeper in Jesus' name. And everybody said, in this story, Ezra is taking some people to Jerusalem to help Nehemiah rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And in fact, it's very interesting when you study this period of exile with the Israelites, because this temple that they build is actually the one that Jesus ends up walking in. It's very interesting, very, very important time in their life. And as he's going to help Nehemiah rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild spirituality amongst the Israelites, they were going to face danger on the road. They're taking families. They probably had kids with them. Probably had maybe even nursing mamas or pregnant mama. I mean, older people. It was not that they were traveling like warriors. They were traveling like families. They were very vulnerable. But since Ezra told the king, hey, God's hand is on us and on everybody who loves him for good, they didn't ask the king to protect them. That's pretty interesting, because if it was me, I would think if I have the opportunity to have the king's army come with me, why would I not take that? Yeah, God can work through wisdom, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit later on in this message, but Ezra did not ask for protection. He instead prayed and called a fast. The title of our message today is A Call. Did you know that this church has issued a call to fast? And I do want you to think about it like that. Not that we're just fasting because, you know, we feel like it might be good. No, Pastor Stephen has heard from the Lord as our spiritual leader that we need to fast at the beginning of this year. There's a call, a proclamation to fast. This is very similar to what's going on in Ezra chapter 8. And if we want to receive the miracles that they did in this story, I mean, let me just ask you, how many people in here would like safety and protection for your family? Can I see your hand be raised? I would. Absolutely, I would. I'd raise both my hands for that. How many people would like to see our city, Shelbyville, and our church, Living Waters Shelbyville, to grow and to be built up better than ever before? Could I see your hand too? Yeah, that's me as well. So then we have to do what they did to get the results that they got. They proclaimed and called a fast, and then they were able to rebuild the house of God, rebuild Jerusalem, and God took care of their families. And so with this being said, I want to break fasting down for you a little bit so that we can get into this year's fast with fresh eyes. That we can say, God, maybe I've never fasted before, but I'm coming to this one with fresh eyes. You can say, God, maybe I've fasted every year for 20 years, but I'm coming into this one with fresh eyes because I want to see God do something new in my life. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. If you're taking notes, if you'd write down 1 through 4. Number one, fasting is specific. In this passage, Ezra calls a fast for a specific reason. They were not fasting because they were just trying to be holy and sanctified and push other things out to teach themselves to, you know, not indulge the flesh. I believe that those are all great benefits of fasting, but that is not what was going on in this passage. They were fasting for something specific. In other words, they're saying, I got to get me and my kids from here to there, and there are robbers here, and there are people who want to hurt me here in the middle, so I'm going to pray and fast that I can get there safely. Pretty simple. And so I need you to understand, and it's important for all of us to understand, that we need to lay out exactly what we are believing God to do during these 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Matthew 17, verse 19. We see a story, and these verses are right after this story, but there's a boy who was demon-possessed. And the disciples, who at this time were the world's leading authority on casting out demons, they were the best, other than Jesus, at casting out demons. They knew how to do it. They'd done it many times before. They couldn't cast this demon out. And so they came to Jesus and they said, why could we not cast it out? And it said in verse 19, they came to Jesus privately, kind of like with their tail tucked in between their legs, feeling kind of guilty what was going on with this. And he said to them, verse 20, because of your little faith. So this is a faith issue. The issue was their faith was not strong enough to defeat this attack. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Verse 21, but this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. So this is another example of fasting accomplishing something specific. In this case, New Testament with Jesus, the reason the disciples could not cast out a demon was they were not praying and fasting enough. Pretty simple. They needed to fast and engage God in that way so that this specific issue that they were facing, they would have enough spiritual history to overcome it. And I think that that word history is very important too, because in this story here with Jesus, Jesus said the demon couldn't come out but by prayer and fasting. But did you notice that he, if you read earlier on in Matthew chapter 19, neither prayed nor fasted in that moment? He said it came out through prayer and fasting. But when he drove the demon out, he didn't pray and he didn't fast. He just made it leap. So then what that tells me is that it was his history of prayer and fasting that prepared him for specific victories in the future. You know, I'm good with somebody getting sick and needing a miracle and the church calling for a time of prayer and fasting for that individual. It's an emergency situation. Somebody needs God to move right now. So they begin to pray and fast. But what I think is actually better than doing it that way is approaching a situation, having already been praying and fasting this year, geared up, already equipped to face the battle. So I'm not facing it from a place of an emergency. I'm already facing it from a place of victory. Can I hear an amen? And so for you all, I'm believing this very strongly, that as you pray and fast this year, specific breakthroughs and miracles and healings are going to happen because of what you did this month. It's going to be very important that you enter this fast with fresh eyes, because God has some new things he wants to do for you. And I want to talk to you about one resource that you could use during this time. My family and I, my wife and I, and then even beyond my current family, even when I was growing up in my mom and dad's house, we would write out specific things that we were asking God to do for us. It was very specific. And this practice is actually biblical, even though maybe we don't always think of it like this. But in Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition." That word is used sometimes in the New Testament, and the Greek meaning, as I understand it, is a formal request. It's like submitting a petition to God for something. And so when you write out the specific things you're asking for, what you're doing is you're petitioning God. God, I need healing of this issue with my eyes. I need healing with this issue with whoever it is in your life that needs healing. I need deliverance over here. I need salvation for this loved one. And you specify it so that as you go throughout your day, you are consistently reminding yourself why you're praying and fasting. And I'll tell you, one of the more fun things to do, at least in my opinion, is to have things written out that you're asking God to do, and then circle it, check it off, and write fulfilled whenever he gives you what you're asking for. And let me just tell you this. That usually happens to every single thing that I put on my list when I'm praying and fasting. It's not because of anything special with me. It's because God hears the prayers of his people. Can I hear an amen? So pray specific prayers so you receive specific answers. Fasting and prayer, if I could include that, are specific. But number two, fasting is reliance on God. Ezra understood something that a lot, and I mean sometimes the majority of believers that I speak to, do not understand. He understood that God is actually trustworthy. In a time of adversity, he trusted God to the point that he turned down the king's ability to save him and their families during their journey. Because he knew, no, God's got me. We oftentimes say, I'm trusting God just because we're trained to say it. I've been very guilty of that. Someone says, how you doing? Well, I'm just trusting God. I'm just believing God to help me. And I've allowed myself to have that as a habit. It's kind of like how, you know, people sometimes just, hallelujah, hallelujah. Like anytime you ask a preacher how they're doing, like, well, I'm doing all right, praise the Lord. Like you're just, it's just what you say. You're trained to say it. Ezra wasn't just saying it. He genuinely knew, I can rely on God more than anything else I could possibly rely on. Now, I do want to add balance to this, though. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 23, verse 23, so Acts 23, 23, we have another story that's actually very similar to the one that we're talking about. Acts 23, verse 23, then he summoned two centurions and said, prepare 200 infantrymen, 70 mounted soldiers, and 200 light infantrymen with spears to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Now, this is a pretty serious situation. That's a lot of military showing up. Verse 24, and provide mounts so Paul may ride and take him safely to Felix the governor. Skip down now to verse 31 of Acts 23. So the soldiers, according to their orders, took Paul by night to Antipatris. The next day they let the cavalry depart with him. So Paul and the cavalry are going, and they returned to the barracks. And when they arrived in Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they presented Paul also to him. So this story provides some balance to what I'm saying, so that if you have to have your glasses to drive, you're not going to get too encouraged and take your glasses off and wreck your car on the way home. Wisdom is biblical as well. Paul, if you aren't familiar with this story, was made aware by his nephew that some Jews were trying to kill him. And so Paul gave Paul Jr. instructions about how to go and tell these people, hey, I need help. There's people trying to kill me. I'm in danger. I need help. And so God gave Paul this liberty to have these men transport him safely to where he was going. Wisdom and practical approaches to your life can be very biblical. Absolutely. If you don't believe that, read Proverbs. It's all just wisdom. But I do want to point something out. Paul used the soldiers, but Ezra didn't call for soldiers. He called for a fast. And if I could just tell you this, it worked. His fast got the job done. And this shows us that God does not need any help. Can I hear an amen? When God shows up in your life and he shows up in my life, he does not need help. He is the help. And soldiers are great, but we have the Holy Spirit to actually take care of things that no amount of soldiers could ever do for you. Can I hear an amen? Put your hands together if you know that God is your help today in Jesus' name. Listen, if y'all start getting too rowdy for me, I'm going to preach too long, so we're going to have to be careful. God doesn't need my help. He welcomes my partnership, but he doesn't need my help. And I want to take almost a little bit of a rabbit trail on this topic of relying on God and talk about this idea that's going throughout Christianity right now. And it's essentially summed up as saying, I want to seek God's face and not seek his hand. I get the point. I just want to be with God. I just want God's presence. I want to encounter him, and I want to experience him. The problem, if I could say this, is that God's face and God's hand are both God. Just seek God. If you're in a place where you don't really need anything right now, then go and pray for other people and then worship the Lord. But if you are in a place where you need something right now, don't feel guilty for running to God with your problem, because he actually takes that as faith, and I believe faith is his love language. God enjoys when his children rely on him. I don't get upset when Silas comes to me when he needs something. Okay, I'm kind of lying. Sometimes he does annoy me a little bit when he's, you know, dumping out his water all over the tray, and now my son and my, he's all wet, and then my dog's running through and eating all the crumbs. It felt like, that annoys me. But as a rule, we don't get annoyed with our kids when they need us. We want to help them. We don't say, oh, you need to eat again today? Goodness, I mean, you already had an applesauce. You need a banana, or as he calls them, Ninas. He calls them Ninas now. He started as Nana, and he calls it Nina. You need another Nina? That's not how we act. We love to bless our kids. We love to be there for our kids. As long as they're coming to us, we're happy. If I could point you to a scripture, Psalm 81, verse 10. This is God speaking. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. In other words, he's saying, I rescued you in your past. I was there for you when you were a slave, and I want to be there for you now. I want to help you in your current situation. Open your mouth. That just basically means prepare yourself to receive, and then you will receive from me. That's God's heart for you. And if we're going to take this back into fasting, I want you to think about this, and this might be a little bit tweetable. Sometimes the food that you need comes from God's hand and not your kitchen. It's not that you fast to beat yourself up. It's that you fast to remind yourself, God is my source. He will take care of me, and I don't have to figure things out on my own. I am not limited. You are not limited to your own capabilities. God can do in you much more than you can do for yourself. And when you ask him to do those things that you need, it's not selfish, it's reliance. It's part of acknowledging him as your Lord. Because you're saying, from you comes everything I need. So I'm not going to try and figure out my health. I'm not going to try and figure out my money. I'm not going to try to figure out my family. I am going to take these things to you, lay them at your feet, and do all of them your way. Can I hear an amen? Living with the Lord means looking to him for your provision. Number three, fasting brings results. Look at your neighbor and say, your fast is going to work. Look at your other neighbor, your second choice, it's a little bit offended you didn't choose them first, and say, your fast is going to work. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those giggles really give me life. Verse 31 of Ezra chapter 8. It says, God's hand was on us and delivered us. This is the climax of the story. Their prayer and fasting worked. They didn't need the soldiers. Praise God for soldiers. I sleep at night with my Second Amendment by my head. Don't worry about that. Don't break into my house. But prayer and fasting worked. They didn't need the soldiers. And I want you to know something. It's going to work for you. I already had you tell your neighbor it was going to work, but I want you now tell yourself, say, it's going to work for me. That this fast is going to work for me. If you have an unsaved loved one, they're going to come back to the Lord. I'm going to stretch my faith today and say God is going to bring them back to the Lord. If you are dealing with a sickness, I believe God is going to bring recovery and healing to you. Your fast is going to work. Can I hear an amen? But let me encourage you, don't fall in love with a process and then miss out on the power. Many people do this. And I've already kind of touched on this a little bit, but I do want to mention this again. It is not the act of fasting. Let me make sure I say this right. Let me change it. spiritual disciplines, that's not what's supposed to bring us joy. Think about it. What is better than having a bad day and then listening to worship music and praying, and then just that process itself does bring you joy? I believe in that, absolutely. It is very encouraging to enter into God's presence. But I have a scripture that is also very important to think about when it comes to our spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting. John chapter 16, verse 24, if you would turn there with me. John chapter 16, verse 24. It says, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be full." Let me read it how a lot of people think about this. Ask and your joy will be full. It's not what it says. The joy in this case is not from the process of asking. If I could stretch it, prayer, but also fasting. It's not that you just find the joy in prayer and fasting. The joy comes when the power of prayer and fasting bring the miracle that was in your heart now to your hand. Amen. And I'm not telling you that you need to think of God as some spiritual genie, but I do want you to think of Him as a Father who really wants to help you. He's already said it. All we're doing is taking and running with what He's already told us to do. And I'm going to quote Sister Carol Tracy. I kind of had a feeling. I'm looking at you. I'm not going to let you hide from me. You had your head down. No, I'm gonna find you, Miss Carol. She might have known this was coming. A few years ago, she was working the altar ministry, and Callie and I came down for prayer, and I have this written down to make sure I get it correctly. She said, "If I feel like I don't have any joy, I know I just need more answers to prayer." Because Jesus said that the joy comes from the answers to prayer. So I want you to get this. You are okay to find joy in the process, but your source of joy, your fullness of joy, doesn't come from disciplines. It comes from results. God actually wants to do things for you this year. In the Bible, there's other scriptures to balance this. James says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations." You can walk in joy all the time, no matter what you're facing. But fullness of joy comes when you get your prayers answered. Amen. So as you're fasting, don't just not eat. Fast in true expectation for a miracle. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, full of the Holy Spirit. So was He without the Holy Spirit before His fast? He was full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit. So He's full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And He ate nothing during those days, and when they ended, He became hungry. Skip down to verse 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through all the surrounding district. Jesus was full of the Spirit before His fast, but He came out of the fast full of the power of the Spirit. And then everybody else said, "Oh, there's something about this guy. He's got something that we need to tell everybody about." He was Jesus and He had the Holy Spirit before He fasted. But the Son of God, after fasting, walked in the power of the Spirit because of His fast. He overcame the devil during His fast. He confessed the word of God during His fast. And the result was He walked in power. Somebody asked me, do we have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you have to have it? No. should you get it? I mean, let me ask you, let me return your question with another question. Would you like to walk in power? You can be full of the Spirit just being a believer. But whenever you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's a different thing. I mean, just listen, that is a different thing. When you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are beginning to walk in power. And I'm not trying to suggest that that's what happened with Jesus in this case. But what I will tell you is for you and I who do need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are called not just to be Spirit-full, we are called to be powerful. We are full of the ability of God to begin to work miracles in His name. I'm going to just read this to you really quickly. You can turn there if you can do it fast enough. Romans chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. Paul said, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me." And then he says, "resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed." Verse 19 is where I'm headed. "In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about, as far as Illyricum," I cannot say that word, "I have fully," somebody say fully, "I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Do you want, and I'm going to clarify, do you want to fully preach the gospel? Because, I mean, I do. I believe you do too. I want to fully preach the gospel. Not part of it. The whole thing. Then we have to be seeking for the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I did all of these things in the power of signs and wonders and in the power of the Spirit so that," in other words, meaning this is the reason why the gospel can be preached fully. I'm not suggesting that if you don't speak in tongues or you've not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you cannot be a gospel preacher. In none of the disciples in the gospels were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they still prayed and they still saw miracles. God still moved from them. They had already received the Holy Spirit before Acts chapter 2. But Jesus did still say to people who had already been preaching the gospel, who had already been healing, who were already full of the Spirit, "Wait in Jerusalem until you have received power from on high." I want that in my life. And this comes, obviously, through experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we see in Jesus' story that it comes through a time of prayer and fasting. The Spirit's hold on you can get stronger during a time of prayer and fasting because you have no distractions. I made a joke earlier about how this Sunday can sometimes be the smallest Sunday of the year. And the reason is because when we're coming off that holiday season, and this is definitely true for me to a certain extent, we're about 5 pounds heavier. We're still playing with our Christmas gifts. We're worn out because our time off is really more difficult than our normal schedule. And we come to church kind of, you plop in your seat and just want to listen and then go home and take a nap. Now that's not you. That's the Baptist churches down the road. I'm just kidding. 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 Just kidding, in case you didn't hear me. But I believe that as we walk into this fast, we are not going to walk into it spiritually bloated and lethargic. We're going to walk hungry. And I want you just in your own self right now, decide, I'm reaching for God during this fast. And I'm not going to let go until I get what I am praying for. Not because you're selfish, but because that's what he told you to do. When Jacob wrestled with God in Genesis 32, he said, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. In Luke 18, the parable that Jesus told about the widow and the unjust judge, he said, I don't fear God and I don't respect man, but because she keeps bothering me, I'm going to give her what she asks. And Jesus said that we are supposed to do that too. Please adopt the mindset of the prophet in the Old Testament where he told the king, I need you to take these arrows and pound them on the ground because you're asking for this victory. And he didn't do it enough times and didn't get full victory. I'm going to hit my podium here, so go ahead and prepare yourselves. You ready? I want to pound the ground this year until I get not just a little bit of what I'm asking for, but everything that God has put in my heart. And I believe that as you do that this year, God is going to give you everything that you are believing him for in faith as well. Can I hear an amen? Would you stand up all across this room? Everybody standing. If the worship team wouldn't mind coming, I'd appreciate it. Point number four. I just got so excited I had to come down here and be with y'all. I felt like I was missing out up there. I probably need to come back up so the lights are on my face. Point number four. Types of fasts. The cool thing about the Bible is that it allows everybody to have something they could fast. Total fast is one in the Bible where it's no food, but you can have water, you can have liquids. Jesus did this when he was in the wilderness. And there are other people who fasted normally. From what I can tell, when they say the word fasted, this is what it's referring to most of the time in the Bible. No food, but drinks. There's also something called a partial fast or a daylight fast or a Jewish fast. And this is where you abstain from food from the morning time until sundown. So you drink water, you drink other things if you need it. Judges 20, verse 26, 1 Samuel 14, 24, 2 Samuel 1, 12, Nehemiah 9, 1 all allude to this type of fast where you just eat at sundown. And to be honest with you, this is probably the one that I'll be doing. Due to the nature of my work, I will probably need to eat some. And so if you're not able to go 40 days without eating at all, you're in good company. Some people can't do that. The next one is a Daniel fast. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, and Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 through 3, we see him asking, and this is where one of the places we get the 21 days, because he prayed and fasted for 21 days for revelation from heaven concerning the exile. They were still in exile, and he's asking God, what's going on? We're past the time frame that you said we were going to get delivered. And so he did a Daniel fast, and this was where he only ate vegetables and fruits and drinks. He did not have any meat or sweets. Sweet bread, I think, is what it says in the Bible. But he avoided meat and sweets. And I believe that that is a absolutely powerful fast because he got what he was asking for. I mean, he was bumping into angels and having end time visions during this fast. It's powerful. And if you do that one, you're not less than. I also believe that you could just fast one food based off of the Daniel fast. If you don't like broccoli and you're fasting broccoli, that probably doesn't count. I've been fasting kale for 10 years. But fasting sweets, you don't eat ice cream for 21 days. God honors that. If you're an ice cream guy or girl, God honors that. Fasting, a specific type of food, is absolutely a fast. And this means that there is a fast for everyone. Regardless of what type of fast you choose, though, please do this. Make the decision that if you've not already begun, you're going to fast. If you've not already flipped that internal switch, decide right now, I'm doing it. I mean, like, you know that wavering, I don't know, we'll see, maybe I'll figure it out. Done. Decision made. I'm fasting something. Now I want us to do something before we pray here in a second. I want everybody in this room to close your eyes. I mentioned that you and I could find a lot of value in writing out the specific things that we are believing God for. And I would encourage you, when you get home, write them out and put them on your fridge. Put them, or wherever it is that you are going to be able to see it and your family's going to be able to see it consistently. Be very prominent in your home. But before you do that, in this moment, I want you to think about what you need to pray and fast for. Like, take a second, literally right now, and begin to think, Father, what should I be asking you for? And for some of you, God's going to give you something in this moment. He's going to begin to show you what you need to pray and fast for. Some of you knew as soon as I asked you to think about it, you already knew what you needed to pray and fast for. Some of you, you instantly, God, I got to pray for this kid over here. I got to pray for this health situation, this financial situation, my job, whatever it is. Just a couple more moments here. I want you just to begin right now. Ask God what it is that He's asking you to pray and fast for, and you may receive more down the road. I'm not saying that you're going to get everything right now in this moment, but just for a second, continue to think. And I'm just going to pray over you while you do that. Father, I thank you. You're showing us, you're leading us, you're guiding us. Your Spirit, God, is showing us exactly what you want for us this year. And God, I also ask that you would remove any limitations from our minds and hearts today. Anything that we would say, God, I kind of feel like I need to ask for this, and I kind of feel like I need to fast for this, but this is so big. This is so good that if this happened, it would just be crazy. I don't even know if I can believe you for it. Lord, I ask you, remove the limits. Remove the limits. Hallelujah. All right. Hopefully you've got at least one or two things in your mind. We're going to do something. You're going to be praying and fasting on your own throughout this month. But in this moment together, I want us to corporately begin praying for those things. And if it's sensitive, then you don't have to say it out very loud so nobody hears you. But I do want us to pray audibly, even if you can't get into all the specifics of your request. And so for a few moments right now, can you just get into an attitude, not of worship, but an attitude of prayer right now. Just begin to ready yourself. God, we ask you in Jesus' name, God, for everything, Lord, that you have put in our hearts, God, for it to be answered. And Father, I just pray right now that as your people are praying and fasting this month, God, that you have something good for them. God, you are going to respond and be moved by their cries in the name of Jesus. God, issues where they have been dealing with things for a long time, issues that have been very damaging and even very large, like very difficult to unravel. God, I see you like untangling cords and unraveling a tangled rope. God, you are going to do the impossible today in the name of Jesus. For just a few more moments, if we can just kind of just raise the volume just a little bit, put some pressure on this today, because God wants to move for you. God wants to begin to move for this church even more than He has in previous years. Father, as we answer our pastor's call to fast and prayer, you will move in living waters, and we thank you for it. You will move in our families, and we thank you for it, and we praise you for it. You will move in Shelby County in the name of Jesus. The flow of the Holy Spirit is not growing smaller or getting restricted. God, what you are doing in this house is going to affect the other churches in this area. It's going to affect the spiritual climate of this area, and we thank you for it. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody who believes it said, come on, can you put your hands together and praise Him like you know He's moving for you? He's going to bless you this year. I'm going to read a scripture to you one more time. I already just read it, but I'm going to read it to you one more time. John 16:24. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. so that your joy may be made full. And I just prophesy this over you today, that as you ask God for these things, there's not a maybe. What if you prayed like there was already a yes in heaven? What if when you were asking for the prophecy that Pastor mentioned about the refiner's fire in this house beginning to burn away impurities and light fires in other people, what if you prayed about that, not asking God, do you think maybe you could make this come to pass? But you asked like there was already a yes hanging over your head. Let me say it like this. You and I need to walk around like we've already got a yes hanging over our head. Have you ever seen those spoiled rich kids? That they just know, mommy and daddy are gonna get me what I need. I'm not rich, but my kids know that if they ask me enough, they're gonna get the applesauce pouch. They already know, Silas does. Even Forrest at his age knows he's gonna get milk if he cries enough. What if we acted a little bit like that? That we knew that our God, our Heavenly Father, is even better than our earthly daddy, no matter how great or horrible he was for you. Your Heavenly Father is infinitely better than the best father on earth. So when you ask, you're not asking as a slave. You are asking as a son or daughter, knowing that you've already been promised that you are going to receive what you asked for. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for a grace to pray and to fast, but God, a grace to receive everything you've promised us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, put your hands together one more time if you believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Pastor Stephen.
Oh, wow. Woo, man, way to start this fast. Wow. Yes, I'm really excited. I don't think I talked to him about this, but I'm, you know, sensing the Lord to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit over the next couple Sundays. And if you already heard me in my second video for prayer, is that God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit includes the power of God, the presence of God, and the purity of God. And that's that third leg God is really emphasizing right now at Living Waters. But it's a whole thing. We want to be whole in fully embracing the Word of God, not just parts of it. And so this is going to be an incredible 3 weeks, and I believe a year that will be marked for the history of Living Waters. And thank you, John, for bringing faith and the power of the Holy Spirit here today. And let's just give him another hand. And I am going to ask you, those that were prayed for healing, check, you know, with this later this week. We want to see how you're doing. Check with Pastor Joel and myself. We want to pray for you.